Good morning, friends. It is 9 o'clock, it's Wednesday, and it's time for the conversation, a conversation, our conversation. We've got a topic for you today. Big surprise, it involves the pandemic. Hey, when was the last time we talked about this, honestly? We're well past the year mark of the COVID-19 pandemic. So let's talk about the year in total. How has it changed you? Has it changed your priorities? Have you made gains? Have you experienced losses? Did it cause any changes in your outlook? Did you gain a new skill? Did you form a new habit? We'd love to hear from you. 503-325-0010. This is a live and local call-in show, and it means the world to us to hear from you in the community. Whether you're a first-time caller, it's okay if you're nervous. I'm nervous too. And if you're a regular, we love hearing from you as well. So once again, the number to call to chime in on your outlook on the year of COVID, call 503-325-0010. And just to get the phones ringing, let's do an icebreaker question. Also about this year, but less about COVID, more about you. Who have you felt closest to this year, and why? I'm going to assume most of those answers include someone that was in your bubble, within your threat radius, as my brother would say. Who have you felt closest to this year, and why? And then the bigger question, how has the year of COVID changed you? Your priorities, gains, losses, changes in outlook, new skills, new habits? Give us a call, 503-325-0010, and be part of the conversation. I've had some help this week from KMUN reporter, journalist, Morning Edition and All Things Considered host Kathleen Morgane, the one and only, a resident of Wakayakum County, and she was insightful enough to do a couple of interviews this week leading up to this show. So thanks to Kathleen, and let's start off with one of the interviews that she did. So this interview is with Duncan Cruikshank, operations manager for the Wakayakum County Health and Human Services. As we make adjustments in our personal lives, county health departments remain in all hands on deck mode in monitoring case rates, making vaccinations available to everyone. For those workers, the era of COVID is far from over. Kathleen Morgane spoke yesterday with Duncan Cruikshank, operations manager for Washington's Wakayakum County Health and Human Services. Here's that interview.
COVID-19 case rates in our listening area are generally going down, but in Clatsop County, rates are up 86% in the last 2 weeks. In Washington's Wakayakum County, case rates are up 200%. That's according to the New York Times National COVID Case Tracker as of this morning. Yesterday, Duncan Cruikshank of Wakayakum County's Health Department talked about the county's efforts to bring case rates down.
So we would love to increase the vaccination rates. We're trying to make vaccine simple for people to get as possible. We're doing open clinics on Mondays and Wednesdays, and we're open to meeting groups in their place at times other than that if that doesn't work for them. So, for example, if a fraternal organization wanted to have us come to them and do a vaccination clinic, we could do that. We are scheduled to have the state of Washington's Care a Van come to both the Bald Eagle Day Festival and at least one day of the fair to do vaccinations. That hasn't been finalized, but on the tentative schedule. We're still encouraging people to mask up when in public spaces just to try and limit the amount of spread, mask up, wash hands, stay home when you're sick. We still have the disease floating around.
Are you seeing any trends in case rates?
It's really hard to project a trend. We certainly have had an uptick in this calendar month. It's looking like it could be our worst month of all. Our previous worst month was February, but that's not all that many cases. Our worst month that we've ever had was February of this year at 24 cases, sorry, and in June so far, we have 22, and we're midway through the month. So it's concerning, but we've had that happen. Similar things happen, and then they can completely die off. For all I know, our contact tracer could be working on two or three cases right now, trying to figure out if they're real. We're not posting cases that are found as part of rapid testing. It has to be confirmed with a PCR test, because rapid testing can be inaccurate, particularly for people who are asymptomatic. So we're not counting those as cases. We have to have them confirmed as with a PCR test.
And I'm going to break in to say the PCR test detects RNA or genetic material that is specific to the virus and can detect the virus within days of infection, even in people who don't have symptoms. Has the health department changed its focus, say, from the beginning to now? How has the health department's approach to dealing with COVID changed over time?
When we first started, we did a lot more outreach to people on a one-on-one, or businesses or enterprises on a one-on-one basis. Now we're getting a lot less calls from people as the information gets out there. We still look to the CDC website, the Department of Health website, and the excellent New York Times website, I think you alluded to earlier on, for information on top of our own statistics. We went through a period when Governor Inslee's directives were coming out when there weren't them, and that was really a challenge, or when they did come out, and they were a real challenge to interpret and find and read and to help out various businesses by trying to send them the information, or entities, for example, the Catholic Library wanted updates on that. And we worked really hard with the school system, which clearly has slowed down because their system got into place and was highly effective here in Wakayakum.
At this time, what are your top concerns going forward?
Clearly, our case rate going back up is a huge concern. People's frustration with the ongoing limitations on activity and fear about isolation, people's mental health, frustration with what they perceive to be mandates from public health. I don't think any of those have come from local public health. We're just implementing policies as directed. It's wearing on everybody. We all need to remember to be kind and listen to each other when people are talking about their fears, and then try and help each other.
That's very good advice. Thank you very much for talking with me today. Duncan Cruikshank, Operations Manager for Wakayakum Health and Human Services.
Pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Wakayakum Health and Human Services has vaccine clinics for anyone age 12 or older, Mondays and Wednesdays from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and then from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. The vaccinations are available at the health department in the basement of the county courthouse at 64 Main Street in Kathlamet. For more information, call 360-849-4041. Unincorporated Skamakaway, Washington.
Whoops, that's the next interview. Thanks, Kathleen, and thank you, Duncan Cruikshank. Duncan followed up with an email later yesterday and wanted to add something to his interview, which was that yesterday was a grim day, having passed 600,000 COVID-19-related deaths in the United States of America. He felt strongly that that should be mentioned. Wakayakum County lost its unique place of being the only county in Washington without a death. They did have one confirmed death from this awful disease. Duncan went on to say, we have had amazing community support from our businesses and from regular folks protecting themselves and their families. These are often quiet people who just want the best for themselves and their neighbors. They aren't flying flags or posting on Facebook. As Frank Zappa would say, us regular folks who might wear a tennis shoe or an occasional Python boot. And finally, he just really wanted to reinforce that 600,000 people is a lot of people, and that it's very sad to have lost that many souls due to this devastating disease. If you're just joining us, this is The Conversation on KMUN, and we're discussing the year of COVID. And it's a live call-in show, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. The number to call is 503-325-0010. And the big topic of the day is, looking back on this past year, how do you think COVID has changed you? Have you gained new skills, formed new habits? Have you changed your outlook on anything? We can look forward, too, and say, what do you expect will be different about your life moving forward? Do you have hopes for a return to the old normal? Do you look forward to new normals? I was thinking a lot about education and how upside down the world was for teachers and students, not only at the beginning, but throughout the pandemic, as efforts to reopen came and went. And while it's amazing that we have vaccines, we're not out of the woods yet. So where do we see this going? Has anything changed permanently in the education system, or will things go back to the old normal? I know at the station, despite the challenges of COVID, there have been some useful tools and practices that have emerged. And one of them is our use of video conferencing. I'm not going to name any brand names, but we all probably know what they are. One of the nice things about it is that it enables folks to attend meetings even if they live an hour and a half away. And so if driving was a barrier to participating, or if driving at night was a barrier to participating, now we have a way for folks to attend board meetings if they're interested in being on the board, but live south of Tillamook or live in Western Columbia County or live in Wakayakan County. And we will probably continue to have some sort of a hybrid at our board meetings where folks that would like to participate on the board but can't make the drive now have a way to participate. But we look forward to meeting in person as well. We've had a couple folks call in, excited to hear what you think. Caller number one, you are on the air.
Good morning, Graham.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, the icebreaker was, who do you most appreciate at this time during this event? Is that the icebreaker?
Yeah, it was like, who are you closest to during the pandemic?
Well, we've recently had my wife's brother come and stay with us, and we're building him an abode. He's just been so fantastic. He's really brilliant, really computer savvy, and very mechanical. And he's trying to keep us in our house for as long as it's possible, because we're elderly and getting a little crippled. But I so much appreciate his input and his spirit, and that's a person I'm very close to right now.
Well, it sounds like he has been a very welcome addition to your life, and I'm glad that you're...
Yeah, very, very much so. And the other question is, the other part of the issue is, how has the pandemic affected you in a particular way? Is that correct?
Yeah, any changes in your priorities or outlooks? Did you gain anything, lose anything, form a new habit or a new skill?
Well, one of the things that has struck me is people I've been very close to across the world, Japan, France, other places, they've disappeared. And, you know, I have no idea what the hell is really going on in their life. Canada, it worries me. And I wish I could hear what's going on, but they've kind of shut down. But I think that's happened with a lot of people.
So you think you've lost contact with folks?
I do. And really people I was very close to, very fond of. And I just don't, you know, I hope they're okay. I wish they would communicate. They could even say, shut up.
But, well, I wonder if a new habit is going to come out of this or a new method of communicating with them. You know, what have you tried writing a letter and sending it in the post? Or, you know, is it normally the telephone that you would connect with these folks on?
Sometimes the telephone, most of the time email.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time email. But still, it's sort of left a vacancy in my heart. I don't know what to do about it, but I thought I'd answer the question that way.
Well, I'm sorry that it's a little bit of a downer answer for you, Paul.
Yeah. Have you experienced the same thing, Graham?
I'll be honest with you, Paul. I'm not very good at staying in touch with people.
You're excellent at it, actually.
Never been a strength of mine. You know, but I will say that one of the goals that I did develop during the pandemic was to stay in better contact with my extended family. And I can credit my brother with being the one to organize and instigate some family-wide Zoom calls, whether it's to, you know, celebrate my grandmother's birthday or whether it's just the cousins getting together to have a chat. So I've appreciated his help and his motivation. But that's been a priority for me is to try to be a better communicator, especially with my family.
That's great. Did I hear you say that he calls the family the zone of fear or something like that?
The threat radius, yeah.
So,
how wide is your threat radius during the pandemic? You know, and if you let somebody new in, the radius gets a little bigger.
Well, listen, Graham, great to talk to you. Love the show, as always.
Thanks, Paul.
And, I want to say one more thing.
Sure.
You're the people who call in. I get so much great information from your callers.
That's fantastic.
Different perspectives, and, they are marvelous people who call in.
It really is true. And, you know, I expect that this show will only grow. And hopefully when we reopen, we can get some new folks in here to host every now and then and get some different voices on. But it's been a real joy to hear from the community and see this show kind of fulfill its purpose,
I really think it does. It's given me a feeling of connectivity where I've lost bits and pieces.
That's great. Well, thanks for those words,
right,
Paul.
Take care, Graham.
You too. If you're just joining us, it's The Conversation on KMUN, and we're talking about the year of COVID. We just had another caller come in. It's a live radio show, and you're about to go on the air, so hang tight. And if you are interested in calling, the number is 503-325-0010. And we're talking about how your priorities might have changed, or your outlook, or any gains or losses you experienced, or any new skills or habits that you formed during this past year. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, that caller, you are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to add life changes. I have turned my somewhat messy den into a live studio, kind of communicate rather than driving miles for regional meetings or driving to a location. Now I am coming back in my pajamas and making sure I have coffee and sitting down and traveling electronically.
So you're taking advantage of those video conferencing abilities as well, huh?
Yes, and I feel comfortable doing most of that. But you are still missing the human touch, camaraderie, the face to face. that you have when you have a personal meeting.
Yeah, I agree. And it's hard to always catch all of the body language cues that you might be missing. And
Correct. And not everyone
has the same capabilities as well. Maybe their camera doesn't work or their microphone doesn't work. And so
And so that would be a frustration, wouldn't it?
That sure would, yeah. Yeah.
and that's happened to me, too. I invested in some portable laptop things, and suddenly I felt so bad because apparently I dropped it or something and has a little tiny crack, and it's getting bigger.
Oh, no. It's on the screen?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's kind of artistic, but I think it needs to go to the shop. So,
well, good luck with that. I'm curious what kind of regional groups you attend, if you're willing to share.
My Kiwanis group, I administer the Key Clubbers, who are our high schoolers. And they have a regional meeting, and also our Kiwanians, our district or whatever area you want to call it, goes from Skapoos down to Tillamook. And so in order to do that, you have meetings to share.
Yeah, that's a lot of territory to cover. I can see why you're happy to sit in your den and take care of all that business.
Well, it certainly saves on the gas, yeah.
Now, you said when you first called that it was a change in vices, is that right? Or devices?
Yeah, device.
Okay, yeah. I thought this was going to get interesting, and you were going to tell me about your vice changes that you went through. That could be another show. Well, how about our icebreaker question? Was there someone who you felt closest to during the past year?
My spouse and myself have really grown, in that we've been sharing space physically, but also we have kind of increased our book ideas, our ideas on philosophy, religion, that kind of thing. Even though we've been married for a longer time period, we still have found in this last year to be things that we didn't realize or things that we changed our outlook on life, race relations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, how can we forget the social justice movement that happened this past year as well?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's a big change that's happened during that time period when we weren't there to interact with people or things like that. So.
Right. Well, that's really wonderful. So how long have you been married?
We've been married 47 years.
So after 47 years, you can still discover new things and have a fluid frame of mind and.
Correct.
Yeah.
Makes you wonder about the aging process, doesn't it? You know.
I was talking about this with a friend who's about to turn 50, and he's starting to think about things ramping down as opposed to ramping up. And you know, I told him I had just met, or not just met, but someone just posted that they were turning 60, and knowing what I know about that person, I just had a feeling that the 60s are going to be some of the best years of his life, just because of the kind of person that he is and the things that he's involved with. And he agreed with me. So I think it's really important to create your own aging process and not necessarily just bow down to the wheel of time.
And aging is all in how you look at it.
Maybe we should do a conversation about what our techniques are for staying young at heart.
And I think that's an excellent idea.
All right. Well, maybe that'll be next week.
All right, sir.
Thanks for your call.
Enjoy the day.
You as well. Thanks so much. Well, it's about getting close to halfway through the show, which means we've got lots of time to hear from you. If you want to give us a ring here on The Conversation, 503-325-0010. My name's Graham, and I'm hosting The Conversation, but you are carrying the weight. And we're talking about how the year of COVID has changed our outlooks or our habits or our priorities, or have we learned new skills? And then we're also giving some thought to who we might have become closer or closest to during the pandemic. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a ring and join in on the conversation. Join in on the fun. I think we should hear the other interview that Kathleen did. Let me find my intro here. This interview is with... scrolling. Sorry, I wasn't prepared. This interview is with Logan Britt from the Duck Inn. Here's how one of our region's restaurants weathered the COVID storm in one of our area's tiniest towns. Once again, KMUN's Kathleen Morgane talked with Logan Britt, the owner of the Duck Inn, just yesterday. Here's Kathleen.
Unincorporated Skamakaway, Washington has a population of about 350 people in a county of just over 4,000. Skamakaway's single restaurant, the Duck Inn, has been a community gathering spot for decades. It's also the tiny town's major employer. Owner-manager Logan Britt had some quick thinking to do when the COVID shutdowns first hit in the spring of 2020.
We are located right in the heart of Skamakaway, right when you pull into Skamakaway. A small town, but it's back on the map over the last probably 10 years from us redoing the Duck.
And the Duck Inn has a lot of history in Skamakaway.
And it's been around for a long time. From what I was told, the early 50s.
So when COVID hit, you stayed shut down even after the first guidance allowed limited reopening. And what was your thinking then? Was there a plan evolving?
I wasn't thrilled with the first opening of only opening at 25% occupancy. Based on that, that would have given me 25 people in there. However, with the spacing and the social distancing and the table size that they allowed, well, I didn't think that I was going to make even break even on that. I think I waited about a month or so until it got to 50% occupancy and the county got into phase. At that time was like phase three was the important phase to be in. So that was what my thinking was.
You did some really extensive remodeling. Was that in the works before COVID, or did COVID change your plans there?
What COVID did was kind of light a fire. I had plans to do some stuff there. COVID kind of kickstarted how fast I got it done. Opening up the first time last June, from like the first round of shutdowns, it was kind of seeing how the general public was taking it and how careful people were and the six feet separation. Then the state put that a big, huge ordeal with outdoor dining. Well, we all know in the Pacific Northwest, outdoor dining is about, you're lucky to get, especially in Skamakaway, you're lucky to get 60 days of outdoor dining. When they started putting the emphasis on outdoor dining, that's when it went into effect for me going, okay, well, obviously the COVID type things and the way people act in public and carry themselves in public and do those type of things, I think the outdoor dining is going to stick around for a while, and everybody likes eating outside. And then with the second shutdown, I knew that it was time to just get it done and do it and be prepared for the summer, because I knew once COVID was going to subside and people start getting back to their normal, I knew that people were ready to come out, you know, to eat, to have a couple beers, those type of things. And doing that has helped us tremendously on top of dealing with 50% capacity. The outdoor dining helped me to even have more people in my establishment without turning people away out the door.
Now that you've got the remodel done and things are looking a little brighter, how did state guidance affect your customers and your staff and their expectations?
My staff, you know, when we were closed, both the times we were closed, I don't know, we were closed for like 7 months total from, you know, from 2020 and into 2021. My staff was calling me every time the governor was saying, okay, you guys can open up at 25%. My staff kept calling me saying, are we going to open? We're going to open. We're going to open. They were ready to open back up, but we weren't, the construction wasn't done yet. The way we did it, I think it's safe for our customers and my employees. And that's the important thing, is to keep everybody safe. The outdoor dining gives the people options, the customers options. My biggest thing is I didn't want any arguments or people getting upset that they couldn't sit at the table unless they were, you know, the same household and those, all these rules that we had to, us and the staff, we had to police them, but it helped give an option. Okay, well, you guys can't sit inside, but we got heated outdoor. You guys can sit out there, and that's a different set of rules. And so I think overall the customers felt safer because it is a safer environment, and my staff felt safer.
And because it's such a neighborhood place, describe the reactions of the staff and customers to the ever-changing rules coming down from the state.
If you're in a big city, you don't know who's in the same household and who's not. Here, you know. Locals are obviously, that's what keeps us going. I mean, it's our locals. I mean, they support us. Hundreds of phone calls we got from them. So they really help make it a lot easier for us do the rules and to abide by the rules. And they knew it was, you know, and that's the whole thing. They knew it wasn't fun for us because we had all these rules that we've never had before. We didn't want to be the bad guys. So we really never had any issues. The locals really helped us through it, and they understood. We can just do what we had to do and work and take care of the tables and make drinks and do all that and not be the, you know, not police everybody.
That sounds like almost like normal.
I feel confident now that regardless of what happens next winter, and if they do have another shutdown, we'll be prepared with warm outdoor dining. So we'd be able to stay open.
Well, just to close, as Washington and Wakayakum County are reopening, how do you see the future of your business?
The restaurant industry as a whole is going to rebound as we get further and further away from the restrictions. And the future looks really bright for the Duck.
Thank you for talking with us, Logan Britt, the very hands-on manager owner of the Duck Inn in Skamakaway, Washington.
Thanks, Kathleen, and thanks, Logan Britt. And I wish all the restaurant owners and small business owners the best as they continually just pivot and find new ways to adapt and make things continue to work during the pandemic. If you're just joining us, this is The Conversation on KMUN. It's a live local call-in show, and we're talking about the COVID year and how it changed us. It's been over a year since the lockdowns. How has COVID changed the way we interact and do business? How has it changed our outlook? Did you gain a new skill or form a new habit? Or lose one, like smoking? One of our staff members quit smoking on January 1st. Congrats, Nevada. How about you? 503-325-0010. And we did have a caller. Good morning. You're on the air. What's up?
Hi, is that me?
That's you. Go ahead.
Okay. I actually wanted to comment on Logan's remarks about the Duck.
Please do.
It's fine to have outside dining, but the televisions, and the Duck is famous for all the televisions they have, during sports seasons, like, for example, fall and winter means football season. I've been at the Duck. In fact, I don't go there during football anymore because there's such a rowdy group in there. Uh-huh. And in that contained space, if people with a bravado attitude of "I don't have to wear a mask anymore, it's over," I think we've reacted way too soon in the wrong way. It's not over, and the precautions that we've dropped, and I've noticed it's happening here in Wakayakum County, that people think it's over. Well, when fall and winter comes and it's football season and people are inside watching football and they're not wearing masks while they're yelling and screaming, you can see why I'm not going to be going to the Duck, and I'm local.
I can see why you're not going to go to the Duck, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not sure what Logan intends to do about that, but he's got to, for one thing, have a much stronger bartender, because in the past I've seen where the bartender goes and hides in the kitchen when there's drunks in the bar. You can't have that. The only thing you can have is a strong bartender. I realize it's a cop mentality, but you can be a host and courteous and let people know that these are the rules and you have to maintain them, or that's your last drink and then you leave.
Yeah, I think this whole thing just really has required a lot of cooperation, and that's not something that we've been seeing overwhelmingly across the board.
And especially in our county, because there was one time when we had such a low infection rate that a lot of tourists came up here from Portland, and their attitude was, oh, the locals are taking care of me. They're wearing masks. I don't need to. Mm. And now we're going into tourist season, which means we're going to have a lot more people. Except that, as Duncan Cruikshank pointed out, this month we've had a 200% increase in infection, and we've had our first death. One of our local citizens, an elderly woman, has died of this.
Well, like you said, it's not over.
It's not over, but I think some people think it is, and that's a very specious attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's all I had to say on that.
Thanks for chiming in today.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.
What do you think about the way businesses and people are responding to the current state of infection rates, to the current availability of vaccinations? It sounds like, you know, I hear the number 70%. Once we hit a 70% vaccination rate, that's when we start considering the concept of herd immunity. Is that enough? Do you think it needs to be more? Are you going to continue to take precautions and wear masks in public? I know that if I see someone wearing a mask, I will put mine on to be respectful. I'm fully vaccinated. But we are still navigating these crazy waters. And where do you stand? 503-325-0010. Won't you give us a call and let us know what your outlook is? Back to the conversation. I'm Graham, and we're talking about the COVID year and how it changed you. Kathleen Morgain helped produce today's show, and she mentioned that during lulls in the conversation, I can talk a bit about how KMUN has changed. So if the phone doesn't ring, I'll do that. But in case you forgot, the number's 503-325-0010. This show's about you. Doesn't work if we don't hear from you. Don't be nervous if you're a first-time caller. Today's your day. Let's do this. Let's have some fun. But to speak to some of the changes about at KMUN, I'll go back to what I said about changing how we meet and using video conferencing and the way that that has encouraged new board members who live farther from the studios in Astoria. They live still within our listening area, in Pacific County or Wakayakum County, Tillamook County, and they're able to attend our board meetings and participate and engage and help the station. And I really think that's a remarkable thing, and I do look forward to continuing that practice as a hybrid once we reopen. so that folks who do live outside of the local area, but within the listening area, can still participate as board members, as community advisory board members. And maybe now's the time to just make a plug that if serving on a board is something that you enjoy doing, if you have some financial expertise or some nonprofit expertise or want to help with fundraising and fiscal oversight, governance, those kinds of things, we need you. There are board elections coming up in November, and surely due to no fault of my own, we have some board members who are retiring this year, and we're sad to see them go, but we do enjoy the idea of some fresh faces and some fresh energy coming on the board. And so give it some thought. Letters of intent are due mid-September, so you've got some time to think about it. Feel free to give me a call and chat about it, and feel free to attend a board meeting to see if it's right for you. James, is that you? Jim Roberts?
It is.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Graham. Well, a couple things on the COVID. I lost a dear friend. Excuse me a second. Yeah, I lost a dear old friend, and then a relative I never met somewhere in Tennessee passed away from COVID. A couple things come to mind. Really saved a lot on gas. We didn't go much of anywhere for the year.
There you go.
Missed all kinds of family things up in the Seattle area. We've had weddings, we've had funerals, new babies. Each and every one of those events would have had us up there at least once or twice. So, you know, I hate to miss out on those things, but I mean, I'm not looking on the bright side, but that being a real Pollyanna, we did save some gas money. I don't think there's a fair trade-off. I would have loved to would have been delighted to spend the money to be able to go up and support for all these family events, but I don't know what to think about it, except here we are, and like the last caller said, it ain't over yet, not till the fat lady sings, and so far I haven't heard any warbling coming from anybody, so I don't know, it's still going on. It does make me wonder how much people do understand about this stuff. When you kind of predict the pajama clad walking around Walmart with their nose hanging out above the mask, but I mean, that doesn't do any good. It seems like by the time somebody's in school, they should realize that the nose is somehow directly connected to the lungs as well as the mouth. And I see pictures in our little local paper, the Wakayakum Eagle, of our star athletes out there playing basketball. They got the mask on, but the nose is out. I go, well, wait a minute. These guys are in high school. They don't realize their nose is hooked up to their lungs yet. What's that about? I understand it'd be more difficult to play sports without the mask, with the mask on, but still, if you're going to wear it, at least wear it properly.
Yeah, sports is an interesting one, Jim, because people are passionate about sports.
They are.
And I'm not as passionate as most, and so that would be an easy one for me to deprioritize. But what about the folks for whom sports is their life, or it is their future, or it's their ticket to college? You know, this is a tough time.
It is. I totally agree. But you know, you're not going to make it any better with your nose hanging out, you know, above the mask. So I just don't know.
Yeah, or if your respiratory system gets compromised by this disease.
Yes, exactly. So I'll be glad at some point we'll be past this, and that'll be really nice. And we'll have somewhat, I don't know about fond memories, but we'll have hopefully memories of how it treated the people around us and what it did for us or what it didn't do for us. One thing, I have never read so much in my life.
That's good.
I'm a reader. We don't have a TV and haven't had one for over 30 years. So reading and KMUN are pretty much the source of entertainment around here.
What do your eyes do all day? I guess you have to use your eyes to read, don't you? Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, my wife is very crafty and artsy and all that, so she's got always has projects going. You know,
that's cool.
And, my main project, according to her, and I've heard this more than once, is your main thing is to just stay out of the way. Well, I'm really good at that. So, as far as the duct being open, I'm glad that has happened. We've been down there to have dinner once already. It is a noisy place, I'll give him that. And the guy is right in the fact that you can't even hear yourself think of, because the bar is right next to the restaurant. And for some reason, they keep the door open between the two, which is, if they close that door into the bar between that and the restaurant, it would be a far more pleasant place to have a dinner. I hope Logan's hearing this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they could do anything about it. But anyway, that's pretty much my thoughts on the thing, on this COVID deal.
All right, so going back to the duck, what do you like on the menu there?
Pretty much everything. You know, they have good cooks there, and they have good food. Last couple times over there, I had a steak, and they have seafood and all that stuff. So it's a real icon in the community.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, people from Kathlamet very often go the 10 miles down to the duck because that's one of the places you can get a really decent meal around here. There's not very many. You know, there's a Maria's Mexican restaurant here in town. And there's another one that just opened up in Kathlamet called the Spar, which I've not been to yet. There's not a whole lot of, this is a really, I don't know. I describe Wakayak County to people that don't know where it is, 25 miles and 30 years west of Longview. So people understand what they're talking about when they get out here.
So it sounds like your biggest, COVID year takeaway is the loss of family time that you would have normally had.
Yeah, family time. And friend time. There's an old couple that we would go see about once a month over in La Center, about 100-mile round trip. So there's the gas issue again,
mm-hmm.
and not being able to see these folks was really, really painful. We could talk to them on the phone, which is thank goodness for that. But still, FaceTime is so wonderful when you have people. Well, these guys are in their 80s now. We've known them I've known them since I was in my 20s, and I'm almost 78, so a long, long, long time. And when you can't spend time with them, it takes something away from it. You know, even though you can chat on the phone, it's not quite the same.
So it sounds like that was already a priority. But if and when this all sort of settles down, do you see that changing in any way? Do you see making more attempts to visit folks? Or
yes, absolutely. Yeah, I've actually been over there a couple times already. Sitting outside, you know, on a nice day, sitting outside the yard, they're comfortable with that. My wife and I are fully vaccinated, but these guys aren't. I don't know exactly why, except they don't go anywhere anyway, so they're not. I don't think they're afraid of the vaccine. They just don't want to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their decision to make. But I'm really glad that we're vaccinated. It makes me feel a little bit more comfortable around other folks. We're going to have a Father's Day thing with my kids in Vancouver here next Saturday for the first time. I haven't seen my family in Vancouver for a year and a half. Last time we saw some of the little kids, they were 4 and now they're 6. So that'll be pretty nice to be able to see these little guys again.
Yeah, I met my niece right when she was born, but I haven't seen her since. And she's like in college now, feels like.
Yeah. Oh, man. So you're not from around here, obviously, then.
I grew up in Redlands, California.
Oh, okay, I know where that is. You bet. So, all right. Isn't that where 299 takes off? It's over to the coast?
Kind of between L.A. and Palm Springs. It's Southern California.
Oh, you're way down there. I'm sorry. I was thinking of more up north, you know, Redding and all that area.
Yeah, it's the Redlands, not the Redwoods.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, there you go.
It's the clay desert earth.
Yeah.
That's how I get my laid-back Southern California attitude, Jim.
Okay, all right.
Come by it honestly.
KMUN.
Yeah.
KMUN is an awesome resource. So between KMUN and, that's about it, I guess, for entertainment. Well, you know, the Internet.
And your books.
Information off of that. And books. And spending time with my wife, which is just wonderful. We've got 33 years under us. So it's good. It's all good.
All right, Jim. Well, thanks for checking in today.
All right, Graham. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Always good to hear from Jim. We've got another caller on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you have to say for us today?
Well, I live in Wakayakum County, and I wanted to give a shout-out to our health department and their staff. They've done a fantastic job through this whole ordeal, working directly with our superintendent and our school, we were one of the only schools that were able to be open year-round. We started last September, and they just had graduation last Friday. So
wow.
Without the guidance from both of them, that would have never happened. Our kids were really fortunate to be able to do that.
Well, and without stealing your thunder for Wakayakum County, I want to express the same sentiments to county public health leaders all over the local area. Let's talk about a tough job. I mean, teachers have had it tough. Restaurant folks have had it tough. We've had it tough at the station, but boy, talk about being on the front lines. County health.
Right.
Not an easy gig this past year. So
no.
big thanks and just good thoughts to those hardworking folks.
I also transport kids to and from school, and the mask situation, I've been doing it for about 5 years, and this was actually the first winter I did not come home with a cold or flu bug at all.
Right.
We all know how kids love to share, so that was proof to me that sanitizing the bus after every trip and the kids wearing their mask and washing their hands really made a difference.
Yeah, it sounds like washing the hands is still just a huge, huge thing to do. And it, just soap and warm water. It doesn't have to be anything antibacterial, but just consistent hand washing. Keep it up.
Yeah. And one thing I do miss is going to concerts. I just love attending live music. And that has been gone. I'm looking forward to the day when we can bring that back, and it's starting to happen, so that's good news. And we just have to be careful, and I'll forever be cautious of what's around me now, and I've changed my ways that way. I'll probably have a mask in my pocket for quite a while.
Yeah, three cheers to the musicians too, who have had a very difficult year.
Oh, that's for sure. And all the venues that host them, the large arenas and such, that have sat idle.
Yeah. Where do you like to go see live music?
Well, I like to go to the Clark County Amphitheater,
mm-hmm.
and then a couple of the venues in Portland,
mm-hmm.
Arlene, and yeah. So.
Yeah, so you like seeing the big ticket shows?
Yes, I do. Not the huge ticket shows. They've pretty much priced their selves out of it. But
right.
I'm a classic rock fan, so. Whenever I can, I'll be willing to shell out some bucks to see an old group.
So what was the last devastatingly awesome live music show that you saw?
I would say the last one I saw was Heart at the Clark County Amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
And they were with Joan Jett.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a good show. It was really good.
Yeah, it's awesome to see the folks who have been doing this for a long, long time and just really know how to put on a live show. There's nothing like it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, really appreciate them.
Well, thanks for checking in with us today. Is there someone that you want to mention that you became or were closest to during the pandemic?
Well, my wife, her and I probably spent more time conversing than we've had in years, her cooking, she's always been an awesome cook, and I joke around that I survived COVID, but not the cookies, so I've put on a few pounds and got to start working that off. So.
Yeah, I saw a joke yesterday that was, I survived a year-long pandemic, but then I got laid to waste by some pollen. I've been feeling the allergies for the past week or so, boy.
Yeah, but it's been different, but I've a room I started working on in the 70s in our house, I finally finished, so.
I mean, 50 years isn't too long for a remodel project, is it?
No, I'll get right to it.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on the finish line there, and thanks for your call today.
You bet. Bye now.
Bye. It's the conversation on KMUN, and we're talking about how the year of COVID has changed us, for the better, for the worse, things we miss, things we gained, things we lost, new habits, new priorities. Did you drop any vices? Did you add any vices? One thing that I did this year, which I don't know why I didn't do many, many, many years ago, was buy a wetsuit. Turns out you can get in the water if it's cold if you're wearing a wetsuit. And I do like getting in the water. I was talking with Todd, who's one of our illustrious board members yesterday, and he's a surfer, and he said, man, once I get back out of the ocean, nothing can get me down for the rest of the day. And it's true. There's a really wonderful feeling that comes from getting out in the ocean and the salt and the sun and the wind, and that's been one of my bonuses, or one of my new activities, or one of my new hobbies that I started during the pandemic. So I encourage you to do the same. What do you love? What do you miss? Is there a way you can do it? Take the bull by the horns. Life is short. Life is sweet. And want to definitely reaffirm what Mr. Cruikshank said, that kindness is key right now. If there was ever a time to be kind to everyone you meet, now's the time. And communication is harder than ever since there's less face-to-face communication. You know how much information we get from body language cues, not just the words, and those don't come across in an email. And so sometimes we have to make an extra effort to be kind in our communications, because, boy, we could all use it right now, couldn't we? I'd like to thank everyone who called in today. And, you know, going back to the year in the pandemic and the social justice movement, I want to give a shout out to Lanisha Duke as well, who spent some time with us on the air and lent us her voice and her perspective as a Black woman living in rural North Tillamook County. And, you know, there's lots of people doing some very difficult work right now, but it's important work, and it's not made any easier by experiencing it during a pandemic, but I just really appreciated the work that Lanisha did and wish her all the success in the world, and hope that we can have more diverse voices on the radio moving forward. If you listen to the radio on Friday mornings at 10:01, we've got a 5-minute module called The Register, which is a co-production of KMUN and an organization called Oregon Black Pioneers. Zachary Stocks is their executive director, and he reads a short biography of key figures from Oregon's Black history. So I encourage you to tune into that, but also visit their website and see what they're up to. Just about a week and a half ago, there was a celebration in Southern Oregon in Jacksonville because Negro Bend Mountain had been officially renamed to Ben Johnson Mountain. And this was the end result of a lot of hard work from historians figuring out who Ben was, figuring out his last name, figuring out what his role was when he came on the wagon train, how he met his wife, how he built his very successful blacksmithing business, moved later to Albany, Oregon. But that's really something to celebrate. And it sounds like there are several other sites in Oregon that have names that are due to be changed. And so the sooner that happens, the better. And it'll happen sooner if you get on board and become supportive of those efforts. So I encourage you to listen to The Register, check out OregonBlackPioneers.org, and do everything you can to just help push that social justice movement forward. Be supportive, be kind, and stay tuned to KMUN, of course. Thanks again to our callers. Thanks to Kathleen Morgane. Here was a song that Lanisha Duke liked to play when she was hosting the show. Staple Singers, Respect Yourself.